For January the 25th, 2019, we talk about H-Bomber Guy's fantastic Donkey Kong stream, Desolate, and we ask you which game you thought you'd hate, but you ended up loving. Welcome to Level 271. My name is Cole Ross.
My name is David Meyersmith.
I'm Jal Apprentice.
I'm Ben Merkel.
And you are listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games.
Man, I feel like we've got this weird, like, philosophical, you know, the map is not the train thing. Like, all of us say, you know, my name is, but then Jala says, I am.
It's fine.
No, I'm just saying. I feel like we're inadvertently making a much deeper philosophical statement, and we should get credit for that.
I think so. It's the difference between name and identity, right? I declare that I am Jala. Yeah.
Indeed.
Welcome, everybody. Level 271. If you are in the large part of the country that was slammed with snow, I hope you're okay. And you did not keel over, scraping a bunch of snow off of your driveway. It sucks. I feel terrible starting off by talking about the weather, but that's like the most notable thing that happened here for me. What's that?
I just saw pictures that you posted of your house and it looked like you're trapped with snow.
Yeah, we were trapped. Like we were in a snow emergency. And my understanding is, at least when I put it to the small group of people on a stream, like a snow emergency isn't a thing that happens everywhere. So at least around here, if the county decides, oh, it's snowing too much, they can lock you up if you're on the roads. It's like level 1, 2, and 3 snow emergency. At level 2, it's like a stern warning. At level 3, it's like you'd better be going to a hospital. otherwise you're going to be locked up. But yeah, I was like totally trapped. It is miraculous that the power didn't go out and the internet only briefly kind of like flickered. And my cat,
yeah,
go ahead.
And
my cat is like freaking out because like I guess there are different sounds and stuff, so she's like just very paranoid going to all the windows and like pawing at them and meowing and saying like just like what is going on, Greta? Yeah,
panic mode. Yeah, like I didn't even catch most of your stream for most of the weekend, so yeah. That's partially because I was just really really busy generally, and yeah. Then I was really really tired the other part that I wasn't really busy, and then I was very busy looking at the Super Blood Wolf Moon lunar eclipse.
Oh,
and I
yeah.
took pictures and I posted those. And for you guys on this, there are photos linked in the Slack. Mm-hmm. So you can see, if you click the link, you can follow and see all of the various phases from when it first started through when it was starting, when the eclipse was starting to recede, at which point I was like, it's very late and I'm very tired and I'm going to bed now. Good night.
Yeah. I just couldn't be outside because by that point the wind chill was down to like negative 10 or so. So I only caught like the first little bit. I didn't see the moon covered in blood.
Oh yeah, that happened once. It's basically that happens once the shadow starts to take over, and like once it started getting red, it got red like all mm-hmm. at once. It was just like suddenly blood moon.
Mm.
And so to parse the name, it's called a super moon because it's closer to Earth and therefore it looks bigger than normal. It's called a blood moon because as the eclipse starts, it turns red. It's called the wolf moon because that is the January moon name. Mm. And then it's also a lunar eclipse, a total lunar eclipse. And that was it. That's all the name.
I didn't realize that was the proper name for it. I thought people were just being like kind of cute in an internet way about it.
No.
Yeah.
No, that's like the name of it. So.
Really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't believe the spike in, you know, random werewolf attacks.
it went full tilt. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, another thing that happened over the weekend is I did wreath cleanup at the Veterans Cemetery with some people from my rucking club.
Oh, yeah?
And, it was like, we were all out there and it was like windy. Cause this is when the front was coming through and all the cold was coming in. And so it was cold as hell and it was 25 per mile hour winds. Oh wait, 25 MPH. I'll just say that.
Yeah.
Anyway, my words got scrambled because I am tired. So, very windy. And so I actually purchased wind pants. I've had a windbreaker for a long time, but I got wind pants and they were very, very useful and I was layered up.
Did you invest in the kind that are like tearaway that have snaps on the side, like basketball pants?
No, I didn't get all of that. I got some that they're like partially like the bottoms are like that. So you can pull them off pretty easy or put them on pretty easy, but like they're not the full tear away pants. Yeah. But it actually was really useful to have all of that on because it had also rained. And so a lot of those dry, crusty wreaths that were shedding pine needles everywhere also were wet. Wreaths. And so like everything was kind of slicking off of my clothing, so that worked out pretty well. Although I still, like, once I actually got warm when the sun came out and I unzipped my windbreaker a little bit, I ended up with all these pine needles in all of my clothes. So later on I went to go take a shower and it's just like it looks like a Christmas tree had just been shaken out.
And you're
like,
never,
what
you're,
is this?
You're never gonna get those out of your car either.
So at least I think they were all in my shirt, so it's okay, like it's not in my car anywhere.
But I mean, at least your car will smell minty or piney fresh.
Right. Yeah. But like all of a sudden though, it was a few of us that were out there with some older people that were probably picking up wreaths, you know, in honor of their loved ones, you know, like brothers, sisters, friends, husbands, wives, whatever. And then all of a sudden these busloads of children came. I say children, like teenagers.
Right.
All these teens came out of nowhere on like several buses, and all of a sudden the wreaths were like picked up in half an hour because there were lots and lots of people out of nowhere on these buses.
It had a lot of coverage.
It was pretty good. Nice. Like there's no ceremony and fanfare like there was for the wreath laying. Like there's not even any acknowledgement that, hey, you're here for Wreaths of America or anything like that. It's just like, it's 8 o'clock, start working. There's some dumpsters, have fun, guys.
Yeah.
You know, like no oversight or anything. There's nothing. So.
Well, I mean, it was a good thing for you to do.
Oh yeah, for sure. And then I got to visit my grandparents' grave again. So that was nice. And then, like, after that, I just started coughing a lot that night. And so I never did get to the Houston Marathon to go cheer everybody on the way that I was hoping to, because I was just, like, tired. I had been outside in the cold and the wind all day. And my parents were like, you're starting to cough a lot. Do not go back out in that weather tomorrow. And they were starting to get mad. And I was just like, I am not about to, like, cause my parents to have some sort of medical issue because they're worried about me getting sick going out to this marathon. It is fine. There will be plenty of other people to cheer for the people on the marathon. I will leave messages for everybody that I see that has run it. So
the side effect is you got some time to rest, which is not normal for you.
I hibernated too, so I needed it.
Nice. Yeah. Well, it was too bad you were sick, but it is good that you got to rest.
Yeah.
Ben, how are you? We just narrowly missed you last week.
Yeah, I had headphone issues last week, so I got new headphones. So I'm talking on new headphones, which are nice and comfy and noise canceling, which is scary sometimes when you can't hear anything else.
I don't get how people wear those in public.
Yeah, I've tried it a couple of times because they're like the wireless ones where you can just look like you don't want to talk to anyone type ones when you're like walking down the street. Mm-hmm. So I've tried walking down the street with them. It's okay. Yes. I don't know. Sometimes you want to talk to people.
I don't like airtight and isolating headphones because I want to be ready for when life attacks.
Got to be prepared to hear when life is coming for you.
Yep, I'm gonna sneak up on you.
Yeah. There's a lot of good logic in that.
I mostly have just done general nerdy stuff over the weekend. Played D&D yesterday, and I played a new board game I hadn't played before called The History of the World 2 days ago, which is like the best possible version of the game Risk. It's like a much more balanced game, but it's kind of like Civilization where it progresses through time.
Oh, cool.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I feel like the best possible version of the game Risk is the game when where you decide to do something else.
Yeah, so this falls into that circle. But
I guess that is technically true.
Mm-hmm. Is it based on the Monty Python property?
No. Okay. Nor the Mel Brooks property.
Oh, that's what I mean. Like fuck me. I need to hand in my Unstuck in Time card. That didn't make any sense.
I've only seen part two of History of the World. Did he make a part one or
no? He only made part one.
Oh,
and the,
all right.
And
the, I'm way off.
And the joke is it was the history of the world so far, I think, unless I'm entirely incorrect.
I don't know. I'll fact check this later, and we'll make addendums later in the podcast.
Yes. Oh, how about you, David? What you been up to?
Not really a whole lot. Mainly just working and training. Doing martial arts stuff. So, yeah, that's about it. Sorry, it's been fairly boring for me.
That's fine. That's allowed.
How is the weather in New York City?
Very cold.
Okay.
Very, very cold. Not much snow or anything, really. We haven't gotten anything that's stuck, but it's dropped. Although, I think, like, by Wednesday, it's supposed to be back to 40, so it's... not like this is a long-term thing.
Yeah, no, it's cold enough here that, like, it's a valid concern whether or not you have too much gas in your tank or too little gas in your tank, because it'll happen where you just can't start your car.
Cold weather is stupid.
Yeah. why does that happen?
Yeah, I still want to know what possessed humanity to, move up to Siberia.
I don't know. You just sometimes don't want to be around people very much.
That was the equivalent of wearing headphones back then. Yeah. Like, I'm just going to go to Siberia.
Yeah. Jala, you, there's an emergency announcement. You've just shared what appears to be a video of people dressed like Mario and Luigi doing parkour.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's see.
Isn't
this.
Isn't it awesome? It's also posted to my Twitter for anybody listening to this later. You can just pull it up in my Twitter.
Yeah. So they're doing little wall jumps like it's new Super Mario Brothers.
Yes, it's pretty awesome. Yeah. I'm just like, okay. I mean, like I am fascinated by parkour, and one day if I ever have time, I will adopt a new hobby. Mm-hmm. But I do not have that time right now. So right now I just watch other people do things like this.
Yeah. Huh. Well, I think we've covered everything. We've covered catastrophic weather. We've covered rest. We've covered video game cosplay activities. I think that is some banter that we've achieved. We've got a show for you, and we can do that regular kind of show for you with a brief and multiplayer with the grind as soon as we do
the brief,
where we talk about things that are happening in the world of video games around us. I want to do mine because I don't know how much there is to say about it. I just want to plant a flag in it because it is cool and good. So this past weekend, I think a good deal of this past week too, YouTube personality who I have enjoyed, H-Bomber guy, who I primarily watch his output where he dunks on alt-right chuds. Bigots and things like that. He did a stream to raise money for an organization called Mermaids in the UK, which kind of supports and advances the cause of youth trans rights over there. He did this specifically to spite a particularly, let's say, ignorant media personality, Graham Lynham. Who made shows that people seem to be pretty in favor of, like Father Ted and the IT crowd or what have you. But he's got some real just kind of shitty backwards opinions about you know, trans people. So H-Bomber guys, well, fuck you. What I'm going to do is I'm going to try and raise $1 for every terrible tweet you have made, which is all of them. And over the course of this event, 101%ing Donkey Kong 64, H-Bomber guy raised $340,000, which I think doubles or at least does 100-something% goes 100-something% of the way toward exceeding the endowment that organization would have gotten from the government at that time. So more than $250,000 raised over the course of this on a stream where they had a bunch of people come in just as guests, including Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. They had Donkey Kong's voice actor Grant Kirkhope come on there. They had Jim Sterling. They had Mara Wilson, the activist. Chelsea Manning went on there. John Romero. just basically a streaming event done entirely out of spite to greatly improve the quality of life for a vulnerable community.
How do you even recruit that guest list? It's like, all right, I will have a bunch of, you know, famous people, but it's very important to me that they have nothing in common.
I have no idea. I'm in awe of how he managed to put that together. I don't know how much help he had in doing that. Like, I assume that it must have been some kind of massive. It's not just some kind of massive signal boosting effort because he's relatively high profile. Like his videos have a lot of traction, but you're absolutely right. None of those people have anything in common.
Like human white elephant gifts.
Kind of.
Yep.
except it's a white elephant gift, but like all like you would be happy to get any of them. Yeah. So this is news. In the sense that it's an amazing thing that happened. I don't know how much I have to say beyond fuck yeah. So I will put it to the room.
So Duckstream next year, we're going to do 350,000 or?
Yeah. Next big round number. It's fine.
Yeah. I feel like this is the abject suffering though of Duckstream. It's like Duckstream if people played games that no one likes.
I saw a tweet that was like, I'm of two minds about H-Bomber guy's stream. Like, on one hand, he raised a staggering amount of money for a cause that is very important and a cause that I care a lot about. But on the other hand, he has made me and a bunch of other people maybe want to try and play Donkey Kong 64. So it's a wash. Yeah, I don't know. We'll shoot just real. And like, if we can't get 350,000, well, just make it around half mil. It's fine.
Cool.
Anybody have anything else to say about that?
No.
All right. Jala, what's Amazon doing?
So Amazon is planning on creating a cloud-based video game subscription service, sort of like Netflix, accessible from any streaming device, such as a smartphone. So you can play all different kinds of games that usually take a lot more download and stuff by just streaming them. And this is slated to launch next year. And they are currently approaching different game publishers to have them consider bringing their content to the streaming service. And several other companies are working on the same idea to some extent or another. Microsoft's Gaming Cloud division, for example, is working on placing their Xbox games on any device via something called Project Stream. And then just something else that the article mentions is that the number of people streaming on Twitch jumped from 2 million in 2017 to over 3 million in 2018. So streaming clouds and everything is like where everything is shifting to at this juncture. So,
yeah,
like where we started with physical stuff and then we went to digital stuff that has like rights, DRM rights questions. Mm-hmm. And then we went to, you know, like now this, where we're basically leasing the entire library, you know,
and then next, a third party company will own your memories of the game. So just at one time, you'll like one morning, you'll wake up and the rights will have reverted. And you think, wait a minute, I think there was a game that was like, as a dude who ran, it's gone.
Yeah, we used to have terms for people that, you know, didn't own property.
What was that, serfs?
Yep.
Yeah. So this seems pretty similar to like On Live or what Sony is doing with PlayStation Now. Amazon kind of seems like the likeliest company to achieve this, maybe, given how much infrastructure they just how much of the pipes of the internet they run.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. I'm like, well, if anybody's going to make that work, it's going to be Amazon.
I've never seen, you know, of any of the things, like even PlayStation Now, I know that Dennis has spoken kindly of it. I've never seen any of them nail the pricing in a way that made me feel like it would be a good bargain, you know, for what I get.
Basically all they need to do is remake Steam and just be like, here, keep your library here and you can play on any device you want. And that's all they need to do, but they're probably not going to do that.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I have no idea. And it probably will not work on Apple devices, which accounts for a large number of the phones that exist in the world. And there's going to be all kind of weird stuff. Yeah. Has anybody else besides Dennis on the show tried PlayStation Now or any of the kind of other services that are like this?
I have not.
I have not either. I've only talked to people about this type of thing.
Yes. Oh, well, maybe this will be for someone, but it is not any of us. It'll be big though.
It'll be for Dennis.
Amazon's such a big player that it's notable that they would go in and do this. Ben, you have a story that was pretty big, and I forgot that it even happened. What's going on with them Star Wars games?
Yeah, just in case anybody hadn't been angry with EA lately, here's just like another story to just reignite that passion. The writer of Rogue One released some quotes over the past week about the Star Wars game, and I guess recently it was announced that the Star Wars game was officially canceled. So like a year ago, they had, I think we had covered this, where they had shut down Visceral Studios, who was working on the Star Wars game.
Yeah. And the lead designer, well, like one of the people who had worked on Uncharted had like, it was high profile. They went to that project into that studio and then they were just kind of jettisoned from it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The writer of Rogue One, released that he had seen, part of the games, and his quote, which I'll just quote, was that the game has been catastrophically mismanaged. If I were Disney, I'd be fucking furious. I saw a bunch of that game and it looked terrific. It would have been Star Wars Uncharted. So it's like sad because that sounds like an awesome game. But so just be angry at EA if you want to or not. Either way.
So the last time we spoke about this, I think we kind of went on at length about how disappointing it is that you just cannot make a big property single player game that is, you know, that is good and then over because it just won't make enough money to justify EA or any other big studio, any studio big enough to own the license to justify their investment in it. Right. So it has to be something that has, you know, just kind of perpetual play or, like a loot box kind of scheme. I know, you know, that is insert whatever free to play monetization nonsense you want. You know, loot boxes are controversial now,
then fast forward a year later to Spider-Man and then Red Dead Redemption and God of War coming out and being all successful.
Yeah.
But were they financially successful in the way that like a games as a service is?
That's a good question. I guess I would argue that you need to take into account all the people that try and make games like Fortnite but fail. But yeah, I mean, if you compare everything to Fortnite, everything's going to fall short.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, in terms of the success that it's ultimately going to find. Yeah, it's just like to me, this just reeks of a company who could have gotten a 10x investment, but were sad that they didn't get 100x, so they pulled the plug.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, fucking bullshit is what it is. I would have played that. I'm not even that crazy about Star Wars, but you know, if they did it right, it'd be fun. Just make good games, guys. It doesn't have to be a thing. Also, speaking of publishers being irritating, David, what's happening on the DMCA front? And I am not talking about Devil May Cry Awakening.
excellent segue. No, so there was a interesting Reddit post on the game dev subreddit that became at least somewhat viral this week, where basically the publisher, let me one second pull up the name. That's why I had Steam open. Damn it. anyways, Ammobox was making a game called Eximus, which was a hybrid first-person shooter real-time strategy game.
It was about people who celebrate Christmas in exoskeletons.
Yeah.
Continue. Sorry, I guess. Was dumb.
Oh, okay. No, sorry. It took me a while. Yes. Yeah. Anyways, so they hired a publisher, paid them a lot of money. If I'm understanding correctly, like paid them for, various licensing requirements and stuff like that. And the publisher just kind of, stopped doing anything, or maybe better to say didn't do anything.
Okay.
They basically got a lawyer and sent letters. I don't know how the law works. how lawyers like, work.
Just send a letter saying, hey, can we have our game back, please?
Right, exactly. In particular their app ID on Steam. So it was kind of a thing where the publisher didn't publish it and they couldn't publish it because, as far as the Steam systems were concerned, they didn't own it or whatever.
Right.
And the problem was that the publisher took the, amazing tactic of just ignoring their lawyer. And, since they couldn't, actually afford to take them to court, there was nothing they can do. But remember, the system works, guys.
Yeah, it's perfectly fine. Intellectual property's exactly. Fine.
To be fair, this was in the UK, which is basically the same system as us, but still.
Yeah.
I need to preface my snarking. Their response was to file a DMCA takedown request with Steam, who helped them basically get their game back. And last I checked, it is now on in early access on Steam with them as the publisher. Although in addition to presumably losing a bunch of money, that they paid to this publisher and that, they probably paid to their lawyer. They unfortunately missed like 4 major Steam sales.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Something like that. Or maybe it was 3. But, regardless, a lot of potential revenue.
Yeah.
And they basically have no recourse because... the publisher didn't actually, do anything illegal yet, in order for the system to work, they would have to be able to, do a lawsuit and they can't afford it.
Fun. Yeah. See, that's the thing with things that end up going into the legal system. There's no such thing as all's well that ends well because you will lose your shirt to the legal fees. So... advantage goes to whoever has the entrenched interest. Jesus God, that's depressing, David.
Yeah. On the plus side, it looks like a pretty spiffy game. I was really, I watched some videos, and I was really pretty impressed with the production values for a game that, you know, obviously is, you know, very, very indie.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, maybe check it out. It looks like it, you know, you can never tell, you know, just being a good game, obviously, unfortunately, isn't enough to be a success. But, you know, it looks like they've at least got that going for them.
Yeah. And this is Eximus, is what
yes.
it is?
Yes. Yeah. I should point out, spelled with a I-E-X-I-M-U-S, because otherwise all you will get is hits for Warframe, which normally I'm all about, but in this case,
ends
not
up confusing.
Helpful.
Yeah, Eximus, I guess. Oh yeah, so it's like a for like a combo first person RTS. So like, I dig it. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was pretty impressed because you know it looks you know very I guess sort of like bespoke done for how they interact. So like when you order in a building, you know, literally, you know, cargo helicopters will like fly it in and drop it off. You know, similarly, if you, you know, outfit someone with a like mecha armor, they will kind of go into it like Fallout 4 style, you know, and kind of hook in. So it looks like, you know, they put in a lot more effort than the normal just kind of like, you know, oh,
looting,
all of a sudden a building
animation.
Yeah. Nice. Well, hopefully they can make up some lost ground because I don't know. Not to sound like libertarian, but the game should probably succeed or fail based on its merits, not based on some publisher going in and doing monkey business with them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Monkeys.
wearing a little suit and a hat.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and then you answer it. Jala, what is the question that Greg had us ask the nice people?
Greg had us ask, what was a game that you were sure you were going to hate, but when you started playing it, you found that you loved it?
Yeah, this is a complicated question. Gonna go right into it with a pretty good answer from Mike, who says, it's not a bold statement to say that almost every game that tries to be funny fails miserably. That was my assumption about Saints Row the Third. Then I got it as a part of a Humble Bundle, so I figured I'd try it out. Now it's easily one of my favorite games from the last generation. Mechanically, it's a solid game with tons to do. But what really impressed me was how funny it managed to be without getting really mean or playing the, oh, but it's satire card. I'm looking at you, Grand Theft Auto V. There's that line in Spinal Tap. There's that line in This Is Spinal Tap. There's such a fine line between stupid and clever, and that's what Saints Row the Third is. It's stupid clever.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. I was real shocked when I played it that even though it is an incredibly crass game, it's also like weirdly inclusive and about just kind of being as weird and fucked up as you want to be, and you have a home and stuff, while also being about crimes and, you know, slapping people with dildos and stuff. Like,
or a good example in the later game, how you can sleep with every member of your ship. That's yep. a Mask esque type game. Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Robot, sure.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like you know, kind of something that supports this sort of thing with Saints Row, even though by 3 it's kind of some of the joke, but the degree to which its tone has just changed wildly over the course of its series.
Oh, absolutely. To the point where in 4, they do like flashbacks, or you go back to simulations of what the Saints were like back in their hood, like their first kind of setting in city. And everybody's like, wait a minute, were we actually that serious?
Yep.
Like to the point where I think there's like your loyalty mission with, what's her name? Shonda or something like that. You have to like, it's her fighting against like the old characterization of her that was like far more like just serious and just far more intense than what she ended up being.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Saints Row the Third is really dumb, and from what I remember, it is a smart and good kind of dumb that is weirdly big-hearted. Oh. That said, I haven't played it in 6 years, so who knows how outdated that opinion is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's see, Ben, what does Lindsay say?
Lindsay says, Dark Souls 1 was the game I loved to hate until I picked it up and started to get an understanding of it. Now I kind of hate to love it because it stole way too many hours of my life away.
It didn't steal them. It just demanded an investment. Of course, we had to get a Dark Souls answer. I think there's a Bloodborne later down too. Yeah. David, what does David say?
David says, Monster Hunter, 3G to be specific. I didn't think the hunting cycle, go out, kill monster, make stuff from its parts to go kill more monsters, would be something I'd enjoy. But I had a friend that was super into the series, so I tried the demo, and now have probably close to 1,000 hours logged into Monster Hunter games.
Damn. Some good numbers. That game's only been out like a year, right?
Monster Hunter World?
Yeah. Well, I mean, but the series is old as dirt.
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Old as the monsters depicted therein.
Which they cannot decide.
Jala, what does Javier say?
Javier says, I was turning 13 and was at Costco with my aunt and my best friend at the time when he convinced me to pick up a game that was a mixture of anime and Disney. He promised if I didn't like it, we could trade the game, and it was Kingdom Hearts. At the beginning, I was not in at all, but by the time we helped Tarzan, I was all in. All this time later, I can't wait for Kingdom Hearts 3 Collector's Edition so I can play with my Play Action Kai figures. Hmm. Those figures do look pretty sweet, so.
What's an Action Kai?
That's the brand. Play Action Kai is the brand of the figure.
Yeah.
They make particularly notably good figures.
Mm. And which of these characters is Nintendo? So, sorry. I just wanted to ask another old man question. Yeah. And then Greg comes in and says, you stole my answer. So you're not alone, even though you will find no friends on this network, Javier.
I played the first game. I don't hate it. I just don't. It was all right. I was told that Kingdom Hearts 2 is considerably better, but at this juncture, I don't have room for it in my life, and it's not on the Switch, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I'm just not sure.
It was not portable.
I'm just not sure how it's going to work now that, you know, with Disney owning everything, it's stopped being, you know, Disney, you know, doing a crossover with Final Fantasy, and now it's just everything doing a crossover with everything.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think Disney owns ESPN, so technically you could get the entire, like, Dallas Cowboys in there or something. Sora, we need to go rescue the Cowboys. Like, why? That team's not very good. I don't know. Let's go home. It sucks. It doesn't suck. You can like it. It's fine. I have literally no opinion about Kingdom Hearts aside from it's not for me, and it is okay. Let's see here. Darus, sorry if I'm mispronouncing that. That is my best guess. Darus says, Bloodborne. The only reason I played it was to play online with my boyfriend. We were on a long distance relationship. He loves this kind of game, and I've always hated them. But somehow I actually got into the story and got better at it day by day. I don't really love the game, but I would play it again. Bloodborne's great. I don't have anything to add that I haven't already said. Yeah, Ben, what does Austin say?
Austin says, it was Skyrim for me after being so turned off by how ugly and clunky Morrowind was.
I'll hold you back, Jala.
I didn't think I could ever get into another Elder Scrolls game. But Skyrim got its hooks in me and took 10 months of my life. Yep.
Makes sense. And that's like that's an informed opinion too. I mean, if you played an earlier entry in the series and didn't like it, yeah. Makes sense.
For sure.
David, what does Greg say?
Greg says, I want to say Kingdom Hearts, but I think I've already covered that in a previous episode, and someone else already mentioned it. So my second answer is Metal Gear Solid. I grew up on NES Metal Gear and really liked the unofficial sequel, Snake's Revenge. So when I heard about this new twist on the game with its all new features, I was like, that's not Metal Gear. But when I rented it one slow college weekend shortly after, it came out that I loved it and couldn't put it down until I beat it at the end of the weekend. Been a big fan of the series ever since, through its ups and downs. I'm really disappointed that I am physically incapable of doing like an Otacon voice for it. That's not Metal Gear.
Snake, that's not Metal Gear. Yeah, that's pretty bad. But, what were you going to say, Joel?
But I only played Metal Gear starting with Metal Gear 3. And actually, I started by watching my boyfriend at the time play it. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of a thing in that relationship at that time in my life. I was like just out of high school, that kind of age, mm-hmm. that like, you know, that was his thing. And so, like, although we both played video games, he kind of identified, okay, like, these particular types of games and particular series are yours, and these are mine, you know, because he had been playing Metal Gear forever and ever, amen, you know, like, from the beginning, kind of like Greg. So, like, I was just watching him play, and I didn't think I was going to enjoy this at all. Like, it was fun enough to watch, but mm-hmm. I don't want to play that. Like, yeah. I'm cool over here, you know?
Yeah.
But then he left the controller, and I don't know what he had to go do. He went to go do something, and it was like a long damn time. So when he was away, I just started picking it up and, you know, sneaking around in the grass. And I wasn't going to, like, start killing stuff because I didn't want to kill him and screw up his game. But I was just, like, hunting stuff in the grass,
yeah.
and, like, messing with the camo and playing around. So he had all this food when he got back because I was, like, doing it. And the same thing happened when, like, I had watched him play all the other Resident Evil games up to 4. Hmm. And then at some point he set the controller down. So I started messing with it. And I started, like, at that point I was shooting fish. So again, like, I got him all of this food when he was sitting away.
Yeah.
And then it turned out that he really sucked at those QTEs, and he used to hand me the controller and be like, Jala, can you do this? And, you know, like, I would do the QTEs for him because he could not do them to save his life. And then eventually I started playing it on my own. And same thing with Metal Gear, I would play it on my own, but I came into both of those series late, and it was like, I didn't anticipate wanting to actually play either one of them. And I mm-hmm. still don't feel confident in playing it, I guess because I got that mindset mm. back then.
This, like, is mine, not yours.
This is not my game.
Yeah.
So, and I am a newbie to this series, which by this point I'm not. Like, that was fucking forever ago because I'm old. But, like, you know, you know, also everybody knows I play a lot of RPGs and, like, relaxing type stuff. And although mm-hmm. I used to play a lot of fighting games and I do play action games and stuff, like, I don't do it all the time. I'm not constantly in that genre. So I'm right. not like Dennis trying to get his, you know, triple S score, whatever the hell he's doing, you know? And so, like, and then I also don't have the same priorities that other people do usually when they're playing those. Like, they want to get their perfect, I'm not going to get hit, or I need to get a headshot, and I don't care. Like, right. I just don't care. I'm just like, approximate. All right, it's dead. Cool. Let's go.
Cool. I want to see, like, more stuff. Show me what else you got.
I'm more interested in the environments and the story than I am in the, you know, perfection of the gameplay itself.
Yeah.
So.
See, that's why I love that 6 just had a get a headshot button.
Did it?
Which button was that?
Yeah, what are you talking about, David?
I think they called it, like, the action button or whatever. Every character had a button that would use up one of their, like, dodge charges.
Yeah, it was
and
your
just
ship
automatically
button.
Headshot the nearest enemy.
Yeah.
I don't think it automatically headshotted. It just, like, shot, you know, the closest object, whatever that is, and that might be something's head if you were close enough.
Right.
So. I know. It might depend on the some of the characters. I know at least as Leon, it definitely was a headshot, but I'm not sure the others.
David, you're going to make me dust that game off. I have to go, like, mess. Which then requires me to find somebody to play it with me because I don't ever turn that game on by myself.
Right. It's like launching a nuke. Gotta turn both keys. I forget who that even was. That was David. So Jala, what does Alex say?
Alex says, Brigadine, the legend of Forsenna for the PlayStation 1. I figured it would be a cheap Fire Emblem Heroes of Might and Magic clone, but over multiple plays, it quickly became one of my favorite PS1 games. Unfortunately, I no longer own it, and it has become fairly rare and expensive. Dude, I feel the like, I don't own it, and now it's like rare and expensive to get it.
Mm.
Yeah, I feel that. Because a lot of the games that I liked when I was younger that I really, really latched onto ended up being like usually ridiculously expensive now. So.
Yeah, I'm looking at this. Whoa, the new copy on Amazon is $334. Sorry, $334.99.
What is something that's always bothered me? What is the deal with that title? Like, does it make any more sense in context?
I have no idea what the context is. Just looking up screenshots, it looks like a fantasy turn-based strategy game with hexes.
But just like why Brigadine? Like that's just a random like middle of the road type of leather armor.
No idea. Yeah, I'm sorry. This is your memory. I cannot provide new information.
It sounds cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I mean, like I know nothing of the game. I'm not making a comment on that. It's just the title always kind of.
I mean, it might be because they're just trying to invoke like it is an aspect of general brigandry, you know,
like, I suppose
if somebody is a brigand, I have no idea. Chris says Monster Hunter World. I was burned last year when I picked up Destiny 2 with some friends and was worried it would be similar. Lots of boring grinding, etc. I picked up Monster Hunter World during the winter Steam sale since I figured the hit to the wallet wouldn't hurt as much if I didn't like it. Turns out I love the game. Being able to make one of my cats is a bit of a plus. I guess talking about the Palicos, and nearly all of their outfits are pretty cute. The combat is enjoyable and souls light. Chasing down a monster to have it stumble into another one and watching them fight each other is a good time too. There is the grinding for gear aspect of the game, but the combat itself is enjoyable and the time flies by. I cannot believe I have already put in 40 hours of play, with still plenty of monsters and story to uncover. Oh, and Chris also puts in a comparison, actual cat versus the Palico that they made. Yeah, that's a good.
That's pretty close.
it's a pretty good tuxedo cat you got there. Yeah. Pretty good tuxedo cat. Yeah, I don't know that I have anything more to say about Monster Hunter.
I like how this question is now turned into like recommendations for games that I'm putting on my Steam wish list.
Ben, what does Ollie say?
Ollie says, I went for many, many years assuming I would hate first-person shooters. Then I randomly picked up an old copy of Call of Duty Modern Warfare, and hot damn if I absolutely loved the damn thing. I'm still not a huge lover of the genre, the bombast and frankly racist storylines, great over time, but I can't deny I enjoy running through the campaign modes every now and then.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah, it's kind of like the same kind of feeling like I was saying before with Metal Gear and with Resident Evil, where it's like that's the type of game that this other person plays and that's not quote unquote my game. That whole mentality that got developed unhealthily in that unhealthy relationship many moons ago. Mm-hmm. But like first person shooters was another one of those things because I'm so conscious of the fact that I don't ever do like I don't go for perfect score on anything.
Yeah.
And like sometimes like when I'm playing team-based shooters and stuff like that, I will be highest score and stuff at first when we first play, and then mm-hmm. I like get bored and then you can tell because like you know the bell curve of my interest level goes down and you know it's you know I start failing pretty bad because I'm just like okay that's enough of that now. So
My favorite instance of just getting bored at first person shooter was actually during the Jala stream when we were playing Killing Floor, and one of the levels was a like a carnival, and you could play all of the mini games. So one round we basically just all decided to focus much more on the minigames and basically only killed the zombies when they were interfering with us trying to, like, you know, do the shooting gallery or whatever.
Wasn't that also because Conrad was trying to, like, get some kind of an achievement or something from doing something?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Because, like, there was actually a reason behind it, not just, like, we're bored and therefore this is now our lives.
Yeah. yeah. And to circle back, Call of Duty Modern Warfare is a very good game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's see, David, what does Casey say, wrapping things up?
Casey says, Stellaris. I've never been one for 4X games. I like Civilization 5 and 6, but I never wanted to go deeper into the realm of strategy games. I guess got Stellaris on a Humble Bundle and downloaded it on a whim one weekend, and about 20 hours of gameplay later, I was hooked. I don't keep up with the expansions. They come a bit too frequently for me. But I do love making a new race of spacefaring mushrooms who just want to make everyone happy. Or else.
That sounds great.
Yeah, I love the or else at the end of that. That is very good.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So we can do our answers. So I've got two answers, but they are functionally identical. When I got my PlayStation, came with a demo disc. I don't know if it was a PlayStation Underground, but something like that, something akin. And I had a game, had a demo on it for Parappa the Rapper, and had two things working against it. I didn't care for music at the time. I wasn't like that enthusiastic about music, and I really didn't care about rap music at all. And also the kind of cartoony art style was kind of not my wheelhouse. It seemed a little bit juvenile, but I turned it on and it was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Now I don't really care for the game that much anymore. However, you cannot deny that the music is very good and that the visuals are tremendous. But yeah, like I totally just kind of dismissed it because I like it. It was not like anything in my experience before. I had no reason to think that it would be as fun and charming as it as fun and as charming as it was. Fast forward another 8 years when I was in Best Buy and I saw a demo for Guitar Hero. And I was like, well, that's kind of dumb. Like, I think I played Guitar Freaks at an arcade and it just didn't make any sense. The music, I didn't really recognize any of it, blah, blah, blah. I picked it up though and just tried it. And I think I played like, I don't know, like Franz Ferdinand's Take Me Out or something like that. Like a song I kind of knew from the radio. And like when I missed notes and it did like little chunk kind of thing, I was like, oh my gosh, this is kind of like playing a guitar. So I went from being kind of dismissive of the overall thing to just being absolutely in love with that flavor of rhythm game. Yeah. So I guess rhythm games in general, music is fun, guys. You lost your shit when I said that, Jella.
I know. That's because like you went on to play instruments and dabble in making musics and singing and all kinds of stuff.
I do not care. I do not care for music. Ben, how about you?
I'm having a tough time thinking of one because, like, I keep thinking of times where people introduced me to games that I loved, but I never really like went into them like thinking I wouldn't like them. So I think maybe the closest one I have is Subnautica. I kind of was like kind of meh on when my friend recommended it to me, but pretty quickly enjoyed it. So that's about all I got. Maybe Mad Max is another one where I didn't think it was going to be really that great, but it ended up being really, really good. So
yeah. Both are good answers. David, how about you?
I can't think of any that like I played and or you know, thought I wasn't gonna like and that became just things I absolutely loved. I think Fallout 4 was one that I bounced off really hard of the first time around. And then you know, when I tried again, you know, actually enjoyed it a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've got a weird love-hate thing going on with kind of the entire survival horror genre. in that, yeah, I you know, would describe myself as not liking survival horror games, but at the same time, like, there's a number of games I really like that at least flirt with the genre.
Can you give an example?
Probably most notably would be the Stalker series. And I don't know. I feel like I got in Resident Evil when it was, you know, kind of doing its dip towards whatever the heck it was. But, you know, like I did like 4, which, you know, was still when it was within the realm of, you know, having some horror elements.
Those are good answers.
Yeah.
Jella, how about you?
So it's funny because before we recorded, I was like, I don't know that I have any answers to this. And then while we're sitting here, I'm like, oh, I think I have some answers. I came up with this, some like I guess because the lid got broken off with it's not really so much that I thought that I would hate them so much as like I didn't think that they would be a genre that would really work for me, either because I am self-conscious about how I play or like, oh, I don't think I can actually beat this game or whatever, something like that. Like a game that I didn't think I'd enjoy as much as I did, though, was Sniper Elite 3, which I ended up co-oping with Sam. And that was a whole hell of a lot of fun. And that was like first person shooter, but we also could co-op it. And I had so much fun playing that with Sam. And we were playing 4, and then I don't know, Sam has kind of like vanished. But then again, I have also vanished, so I can't really say anything. I've been real busy. So, you know, one day I will finish Sniper Elite 4. But I really, really enjoyed those games, and I did not anticipate that I would like those so much. Yeah. And then I guess you could also say another one would be Hakuoki. I didn't think I would hate it, but I didn't really think that, you know, because it presents a lot of times, depending upon what you're looking at, it'll present more like a dating sim. And yes, it has a romance in it, but that's not the primary thrust of the story. The whole story is more of like a terrible horror historical fiction work, you know, like it's a really engaging story, really interesting characters. And I actually rather like that game. And then I played a bunch of other things that looked kind of, you know, Hakuoki-esque, and then they all failed to catch my interest. So like, you know, it's just a standalone that kind of did that. And then I guess the only other thing, I had another one, Skydancer. Because I didn't really think I would play Endless Runner and be excited. Like, I started playing Alto's Adventure, which is another Endless Runner thing where you're, like, skiing after llamas. And I was like, llamas, I gotta go try this game. But, like,
be right back.
I don't like it as much as I like Skydancer. I don't know. I guess it's, like, because Skydancer is over the shoulder and running forward. And I guess that makes a difference for me rather than running to the side. But I don't know, something about the mechanics or the layout or whatever makes that more interesting. Maybe because, too, like a large part of the mechanic is free falling. Like you jump and you run, but you also are falling through space and having to land and things like that. So it's a little bit more interesting to me.
Yeah.
So those are my answers. I had lots of them, actually.
Yeah, you were at the start, you were kind of fretting about like just like, do I admit that I don't have an answer?
But you came up with some. Like, I don't know, but all we were talking about, I'm like, and again, that's not like any of those that I didn't think I would hate them, but I didn't think that like they would stick, you know? So
nice. Cool. Well, thank you everybody for writing in and sharing your answers on those. If you would like to participate, go to facebook.com/TheLevel Podcast and watch for those to go up on Monday afternoons. Thanks to Jala.
The grind.
Now it is time for the grind, where we talk about the things we have been playing over the past period of time or so. Ben, what have you been playing since you've been gone the longest?
I got a handful of things. I wanted to start with one that one of our listeners pointed out on his social media, Christopher Schley. I don't know if he recommended it or not, but he mentioned that he played the game September 1999.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's a free game on Steam. It's a game that lasts, like, what is it, exactly 4 minutes and 30-some seconds?
5.5 minutes, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And it's just, like, a small game. I presume it was made in like Unity or Unreal or something like that. Not much is going on. You're just walking around two rooms, and then like the pitch of it is that it's trying to be like a VHS tape. Mm-hmm. So it's like grainy footage that you're looking. So it's as if the person's like holding a camera, and the scene will occasionally cut and like, as it would at a VHS tape, and you're in like a completely new setting and you kind of have to figure out what's going on. Mm-hmm. It seemed like a cool premise for a game. I don't know. I don't think there's like a, there's, it's trying to tell a story of, I think like a killer of some degree, or people are being murdered. I don't know. It seemed like a cool concept for a game, but it's a very short game, and I don't know if there's like enough there to kind of go off of. But yeah, I don't know. That was just a tiny little bite-sized game. Did you play it, Cole, by any chance?
No. I saw Chris recommend it in a couple of places, and it looks real cool. I just kind of fell off my plate, but now it is back on that plate. Five-second rule.
Yeah. Like, at worst, you spend 5 minutes doing it, and it's like, okay, that's a thing, whatever.
Yeah.
Another more substantial game that I've played in the last 2 weeks is I played the game What Remains of Edith Finch.
Oh, dang. Hmm. Yeah.
I picked that up on the winter sale, the Christmas sale, and played through it. Have any of you guys played through that one yet?
Yes.
Okay. So, I don't know what to make of the game, I guess. Like, it's a walking simulator game. The premise is you play as a girl who's like 16 or 17, and she's going through her old family house, and she's kind of reliving the memories of each of her family members. And it's kind of going over, there's like a family curse where all of their family members kind of die untimely deaths. You know, they die before they should. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of recount like the last moments of everybody in her family. The one thing that's kind of striking about the game is it's like kind of a downer of a game, because
it's really depressing.
A lot of people just dying either by accidents or by like giving up in certain ways. And
you wouldn't tell by the visual style of it that it is a profoundly depressed, like one of the later, it's one of the scenarios that I did last. And I can say this without, without too many spoilers, the fish thing, like I was bawling at that just because it was so fucking relatable. And so just ridiculously tragic. And when you understand, despite, cause there are like a couple of sections to explore the house, you have to work your way into the rooms cause they're sealed off. And by doing so, you learn about kind of that person's history and what like led up to them. That particular character has an incredibly just tragic story leading up to what happened to him.
Yeah. So that's what I was like thinking about after I finished the game. It's like, was the point just to make me feel like really bummed out? Like, I don't like that. I guess maybe there's a role for that to happen in games. I guess, you know, there's tragic movies, so there should be tragic video games. Mm-hmm. But
you didn't find the very ending to be kind of uplifting?
No, okay. I guess I don't know. It didn't like wash out the negative feelings that I had accumulated up until that point, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. And like a couple of them, like after a while, it's like, well, you're just doing this because they all have to die. And so you're just like meanly killing this person now. Like, I don't know. So it was weird. It's a weird experience to play a game like that, to play a bunch of small stories where your character dies like every time.
Yeah.
That's like a unique experience that I have from a game. I'm not sure if it's a great experience. Like I wouldn't, I'm not like hoping a bunch of developers line up and start making these types of games. No. And it's become the genre of a game.
Yeah. But, that makes sense. If you didn't know what you were signing up for and it was just bummer, 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 bummer.
There's one that's like good. That was like a happy story more or less than the, like the Scream one, if that makes sense.
I can't recall that one.
The Halloween one.
Oh, dang, that was really good. I liked that. Yeah. That was great.
Yeah. And that was like a nice happy one, you know? Mm-hmm. Like anyway, but yeah. It did do a good job of like having each chapter kind of organically open up a new pathway for you to explore. Mm-hmm. I did like that aspect of it. And like the art design, the look of the game and like all the different like objects that they build in the game, like it felt like a very lived in house. So there's mm-hmm. like a lot of bespoke art assets like lying around all the house. So
yeah,
that was really nice.
It's a kind of for certain definitions of the word, a heartwarming Winchester mystery house is what you're walking around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, and I think that game only takes like 5 to 10 hours to play. It's a pretty short game.
Yeah, it's pretty brief.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Outside of that, I played a little bit of Hollow Knight. Still going through it. Played a little bit of Rocket League. Still going through it. Played a little bit of Smash Brothers. Still fun.
Yeah.
And the one last new game that I picked up ever so briefly is I played about an hour of Don't Starve Together. Have you played that one before, David?
I have not. That's like perpetually on my should I or shouldn't I list. So what did you think?
So I basically got a rundown for my friend. My friend got me the game because he wants me to like play it. And so it's a game where you're like perpetually exploring a map, trying to collect resources in order to build a base and protect yourself from like the elements more or less. And it takes place on like it goes in days. And like you're basically just trying to last as long as possible. In the base version of the game, like once you died, you died. You couldn't start over or anything like that.
Yeah.
And the current version of the game, you can like save and reload save, so they're a little bit more forgiving about it. And then you have days that you go through. Each day there's like a certain number of hours of sunlight, and there's a certain number of hours of like darkness. There's like 3 hours of darkness every day. When there's darkness, you need to have like a fire ready, or you'll get just killed in the dark.
Eaten by a Gru.
It's kind of cute. It's the thing where it's like the screen goes dark, it's completely black, and it's like a cartoon where these eyes will open up in the dark, and they'll start walking towards you.
And as it's getting dark, like do they have the hands reaching out from the edge of the screen kind of coming at you?
I don't know about that. It's just the like cartoony like white eyes and darkness, like when in whatever the dark area of the map is. Yeah, so if you're in the dark, you die. But then other than that, there's like a huge tech tree there. So like you chop down, you can make an axe, you can chop down trees, you can make a shovel, you can dig up tree roots, and then like you can plant that at your base to grow more trees. So it's kind of like Stardew Valley, but if Tim Burton made it and it was like more stressful.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it is. But it does have a co-op component to it where you can play with friends on the same map. And that part's kind of interesting is like the map you just gradually explore, and then there's also like two parts of the map. There's like the base level, and then there's like a cave that you can go under, and that's supposed to be like harder stuff. And then on top of that, there's like seasons. You start off in autumn, but then it'll eventually be winter, so you need to have like heat source all that time. Eventually it'll go to like summer and it's like very, very hot, so then you like have the opposite where you need to be able to like refrigerate all your items and stuff like that. So the game's like it seems like it's a very stressful game. So I might be playing it in the future, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. That's all I got.
Yeah, and you've been staying off the Stellaris?
Yeah, I have. Okay. And not to say anything bad about it, it was a very fun game. It's just that I don't want to spend like 8 or 10 hours when I sit down and play a game.
Yeah,
so okay. I'm kind of like keeping myself away from it, I guess.
I worry about you, Ben.
I am still holding on to the edges of the Stellaris hole, so I'm preventing myself from falling down into it. If you don't hear from me for a while, that's when you need to get worried.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I don't have any questions or other stray things. I like Don't Starve is a game that I played a little bit of back in the day, but I didn't really dig into the systems too hard. I think I did a few rounds and I was like, neat.
Yeah.
Let's see. I really don't have much, so I'm going to go second here, just to slide in between the margins. I've just because I've been doing assignment play stuff. Immortal Unchained is a very good game, but unsurprisingly, very hard. I've been doing more New Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe. That title is very extra, and I will not stand for it. It's too much, just too much. But if you say New Super Mario Brothers, there are like 15 different games it can apply to, because New Super Mario Brothers is a dumb title.
Which Yeah. Which one is this one? Is this one that's one just for the Switch?
No, this is the Wii U one that was re-released this month on the Switch.
Okay.
Yes. Hence the deluxe on the Wii U is just New Super Mario Brothers U. It doesn't make sense that it is called New Super Mario Brothers U on the Switch. Anyway,
get a graph of all of these.
Anyway, continues being a very good and fun Mario game. I haven't made too much progress in it, but it still gets my recommendation because it had been a while since I had engaged with a 2D Mario game. And this is one that I do not know, like, the back of my hand, a Super Mario World would be. So Cole gives it a thumbs up. The other thing I've been playing, finished up Silent Hill Homecoming. Did that on a stream. Ben, you were there for the end of it. And Jolly, you popped in a couple of times. It's a weird game.
Fighting system I noticed was really weird. Like, it's capable and not like...
Is this the one where you're playing as a vet who actually has combat training?
Yes. Yes. That is the idea. You're playing as somebody who is back from the military after having been wounded, and that's kind of their... that is their excuse for making the combat a little bit more action-heavy. So... like RE4 and beyond, it takes place from behind the character as opposed to having a dynamic camera that moves around in a 3D space. And the combat is lock on. So people in the chat were kind of remarking, they're like, oh, this looks kind of like Dark Souls because you're locked on to enemies. And if you're doing melee combat, you're trying to dodge out of the way of their attacks, so you can kind of make an opening to do combos of weak and strong attacks on your own with them. It would be much better, and I don't know how much of it came through in watching me play, but the collision detection is really, really bad, and the hit detection is really, really bad. It's especially egregious on certain bosses where it's like, oh, my weapon passed right through that. And it just totally didn't recognize, or I got caught on something invisible. And just those are things that I didn't notice back when I played this about 10 years ago, and played it and kind of, you know, and enjoyed it just because I was not as attuned to that style of combat or something. attuned to a more precise form of that, right? In fact, back then I really was bad at the combat in this because I didn't really understand the idea of like having a dodge button, you know. But coming back to it was like, oh yeah, I see what they're doing now, and that is fine. Tonally, it's all over the place. I think that the best thing about it is the inventive boss designs and kind of just the idea of the story, which is you're kind of going around and seeing the results of a bunch of child sacrifices that went horribly wrong, trying to appease our gods.
See, I feel like taking the stance of child sacrifice is bad is kind of throwing yourself, an easy ball.
a little bit. Yeah. But, a lot of Silent Hill stories revolve around horrible things happening to children.
Or teens. Yeah.
Or teens. Yeah. So interesting game. I did not remember the Xbox 360 version being as buggy as this one was. I said this in the first episode of the stream, but I would have played the 360 one, but Dennis, he had to go and get my copy of it stolen with a bunch of his stuff when you guys lived on Ohio Street, David.
Yep.
Yeah.
Tis.
So I got it on the PS3, not understanding that that is kind of a notoriously buggy version. There was a whole boss fight that I had to do like four times because occasionally the boss just disappears.
Which usually that would be a good thing in a horror game, but
that's right, you better run. So That's mine. Any questions or stray observations about New Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe or Silent Hill Homecoming?
Silent Hill, definitely, I could understand how it was an American team trying to make a Silent Hill game. It felt like a cover band or something like that making the game.
Cover band is like a good way to put it.
Yeah, because it's like a lot of the components are in place, you know, but it's just not quite there.
Yeah. Jolly, you were there. Did you have anything to say about it?
No, I was like there and then not there for various reasons, like I said. So, I mean, like I popped in and then I try to stay for a little while and then I'm just like, I always seem to come in on like the worst possible time. like when you got upset and you ended up having to backtrack and do stuff over. And then like, you know, when really weird, gross things were happening, and I'm like, okay,
I'm good.
My interest level in this is not very high, and I'm not feeling the best. I'm gonna go over here.
Yeah.
So
understood.
Like, okay.
Jala, what have you been getting into?
A few things, very briefly. So the first thing is I played a little bit more of Octopath Traveler. Not a lot more. Like, I finished Ulbrix, and then I started Alphins. And then, like, I realized I hadn't posted any of those screenshots, because I usually post them and make comments while I'm playing. So then there was, like, this glut of screenshot posting to Twitter. And then I got into conversations, and then, like, I didn't get back to the game for a while. So I'm somewhere in the middle of Alphins Chapter 3. My characters are dramatically higher leveled after that last one I just did, because the required level and then like where my guys were at, like there was enough of a discrepancy without being so much that it was like impossible to do, that, you know, I boosted me up a lot. Still having fun with that. I don't know what to say about that. I try to pick it up and play it when I can, and I like it, and that's all for that. Okay, so as you might imagine, I follow lots of birds on Instagram.
Of course.
Well, many of them had said, oh my gosh, my bird is being featured in this game called Tiny Bird Garden.
Many of the birds said, cheep, cheep, cheep.
Sorry. So, well, depending upon the bird, some of them are very, very, like, well-versed and, you know, eloquent. So, but anyway, so some of these birds that I follow, you know, like, they had a post on their Instagram about this game. And I was like, okay, so it's basically Neko Atsume, but what if birds?
Right.
All right. You know, like, I remember I played some Neko Atsume. Yeah, I mean, there wasn't much to it, but like I got into it for a little bit because I was just like, oh, it's cute, whatever. Yeah, it's pretty low maintenance. It's no big deal. It takes like 2 seconds and then you can go away again. No big deal.
Yeah.
So I was like kind of steadfastly against downloading the thing, though. And then Gwillem posted in the level chat on Slack, like, this game was made for you, Jala. And I was like, you're right, it is made for me, but I haven't downloaded it because basically it's Neko Atsume, but what if birds?
Right.
And then I ended up, like, as a result of him posting it and reminding me that it existed, then I was like, all right, well, I guess I'll go ahead and download it because I need to play something else. I need to play something. But
are you playing this on Steam or are you playing this on?
It's on the phone.
Oh, it's on the phone.
It's
okay.
On my phone. So just like Neko Atsume, it's on the phone. Although, like, I guess Neko Atsume has probably been subsumed into everything else. And
possibly.
Now it's ubiquitous. I don't know.
I'm only asking because if you go to the website, it was it says available now on Steam and Itch.io.
Why would it be on Steam? Whatever.
Yeah, okay, to leave up in the corner while you're working as an idle game?
I guess so. So there is a bird that I just got on my screen right now that looks like a jack-o'-lantern. I'll have to share it. There's a skeleton, and I really dig the skeleton. But here, I'll share this one. This is pretty great. I'll share it to my Twitter in a bit. But anyway, so it's just you put stuff out. Like, the whole mechanic is you put out different toys to attract birds to your garden, and then they come, and then you put bird food in the bird feeder. And then after that, you know, the birds come, and then you can give them treats and hats.
Of course.
So I haven't put hats on all of these because these are all new ones. So I'll have to play with them in a bit. But
I'm somewhere way into in that game, bird in the box.
Yeah. Sorry. Well, birds love some boxes. Yeah. Like, it's not just cats. Birds are totally about those. They love to chew the crap out of the box too.
Oh, of course.
Like, man, that's a thing. But anyway, so it's great because there's one that's called, like, they have little like riffs off of stuff. So like there's one that will show up next to the little magical girl wand, and it'll be like this one's name is Serena, which was the original English voice or English name for Sailor Moon in America.
You gotta, like, mean, you act like you gotta tell me that. Come on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not everybody knows anything about Sailor Moon necessarily. And besides which, they later on changed it to Usagi, I think.
Yeah,
I
think so. Yeah.
Like, I don't pay attention. Anyway, like that kind of a thing. And she's got like a little, moon on her chest. And so like, I'm like, oh, do I have any gifts I can give her that are like Sailor Moon gifts? And there's one that looks like a tomato and you can give him stuff that looks like, so like, it's kind of like matching up because trying to figure out what their favorites are gives them more hearts. And once they get more hearts on your little heart meter, then they will send you letters and Yay. Tell you things. Which is like, of course birds can write letters. Of course, why not? So,
send
and
corn.
It's funny because, yeah, right. Well, and then it's funny because the first time, like, I loaded the game up and I'm going through the little itty bitty tutorial just in case it tells me something else. And then it's like, and then the birds will leave you presents. Like, they will give you feathers as a thank you for the seed and the toy. And I was just like, okay, you got to be real here. They poop.
Yeah. All the time. They can't control it. They're animals.
They do. Like, they poop. Like, birds poop every 15 to 30 minutes. So they poop all the time. So, like, no, that is not, that is incorrect. That is an incorrect statement. They, yes, they leave feathers, but more often they are going to leave poop. So yeah. I'm like, no, it needs to trade in the right objects here. But anyway, so like, in my usual critiquing way, there was my statement about that. But anyway, I have yet to see any of the birds that I follow on Instagram show up in the game. I bet they are secret hidden characters that rarely show up and you have to get just the right,
log in at the right time. Yeah.
Yeah. Log in at the right time, have just the right toy out and all of that mess. But anyway, like, yeah, like they have, they call it a fairy hat and it's like Link's hat. And stuff like that. So, I mean, like, you can give them all kinds of interesting things. So it's pretty great. Just because it's like cute and silly. So, like, I can do without it. It's not like, oh, I need to go log in and play with my birds. But like, I've got I've got a couple of live birds I can do that with.
Yeah. But,
like, Rami is way more cool, like way cooler than, way more interactive than this game. So,
Yeah. So you're saying it's okay for a game to be frivolous?
Well, I play a lot of frivolous games and a lot of random things. So, I mean, like, of course. So I played a little bit of that game and I sent a screenshot so you can see the crazy jack-o'-lantern looking bird, which I hope is still there later when I actually open the game. Other than that, do you have any questions about the little birds?
No, I'm happy to know this exists. I saw you tweet about it. I specifically saw you tweet something about the poop. And I was like, yeah, that seems pretty fun to me. So yeah. I think it's on my iPad. I'm going to go check it out.
Yeah. So it's cute. It's low maintenance. It's like nothing that takes very much attention. When you can pick it up randomly when you have a few seconds, that kind of a thing without getting involved. So that's cool. So, and then the last thing that I played right before, literally like right when I was getting the call, I was playing the Resident Evil 2 demo. Not that I didn't already see you playing it, Cole, but I wanted to actually feel how it felt to play the game myself, And yeah. I want to underline to David, I think that you would really enjoy this game. The way that it plays, it feels like something that you would enjoy.
Nice.
So I recommend that you check it out. Check out the demo at least, because that's like 30 minutes. You can get a feel for it. So
yeah, yeah, no, I'll definitely check that out. That's long been on my list of things to give a shot. So this may be what does it.
I am so horny for this game.
I know you are. Like, it's because, like, I was in this game. I was playing this game, and then, like, I was having flashbacks to your stream. Cole was, like, nutting himself talking about this.
Oh, my God. Gross.
You were just like, wow. Like, oh, my gosh. Like, you were spazzing. You were kind of, like, doing the squee thing. I was like, okay, cool. I mean, like, hey, you know, I get it. I get it. I'm not going to, like, knock it because I do the same thing about games sometimes. Uh-huh. Whatever, it was very entertaining because you try to keep it kind of on the low key, chill kind of vibe. So
I do have to say, from some of the videos I've seen of it, looking at the Raccoon City Police Department building, like, that is straight up like whoever architected that building was asking for some sort of zombie attack or something like that. Like, that is straight out of like the Arkham Asylum School of Architecture.
I mean, you've seen OSR and you've seen like the Cincinnati City Hall. Like, both of them are just straight up Gothic castles.
True. True. Good point.
Yeah. I think I need to go check, because I think that the architect of the of Raccoon City Police Department, I think that maybe Trevor did that as well. I have no idea. I know that the Chief Irons, he put in a bunch of the crazy circuitous puzzle locks and things like that. But yeah, I need to double check that, because who knows? But yeah, did anything stick out to you, Jala? Just did anything stick out to you in playing it that didn't come through by watching it or reading about it?
I don't know. I just really wanted to feel like, I know that's sounds weird, but like, I need to feel how it controls myself to understand, like, you know, how natural it is and like how the pacing and everything works for me when it's got my hands around the controller. So you know, like, and it felt good that way. Like, I didn't have a problem playing Resident Evil 7 for the bit that I played it, although I did set it down and then I just like didn't pick it up. It's not like I didn't have a problem with it, I just didn't pick it up again.
Like, no,
I don't know. That happens with a lot of games. Yeah. But, you know, like, this one, I think, has a little bit of a nice mix of, like, that Resident Evil 7, but then also kind of, like, more like Resident Evil 4-ish sort of feel to it.
Yeah.
You know, it's got, like, an interesting, I guess, kind of hybrid style that works well for me, because I, like... Not that I couldn't get into Resident Evil 7 because it wasn't 6. I love 6, but, you know, 7's its own animal, you know?
Yeah. I don't think anybody would disagree with that.
Yeah, but I like the mixture that they've got going on here. So, like, I think this game will be pretty successful. Pretty damn successful.
Yeah.
So...
It seems to be an intersection of a bunch of really cool and good things, really a bunch of really cool and good things about the series. And I desperately want to see how they implement stuff from the original game in a cool and inventive new way, even just based on that half hour that I played. I'm going to do something ridiculous, which is I'm going to go and pre-order this game like at a store, and I'm going to like show up at that store at 8 a.m. to buy it and then bring it home and play it all day. Like, I seriously, I have Friday just blocked off. I might not even stream this weekend, you guys.
Just, whoa, you should just stream.
No, this is a private and special time. I need, like, my first time through has to be just that one's just for me, you know?
All right, Jella, you were right with your description of Cole talking about
that. I'm telling you, dude, like, that one's for daddy, okay? Like,
this one's for daddy. I specifically stopped myself from saying that.
I know.
So it'll be interesting to see, you know, it seems like, you know, I don't know if this is just, you know, this is sort of a darling of the network, so maybe I'm, you know, just in a bubble, but
you better walk it seems fucking like carefully this is right kind now.
Of getting
Huh? I said you better walk carefully.
Continue, well, no, sir. It'll be interesting to see. It seems like this is getting more traction than most like HD remakes or whatever, that sort of thing. And to the point where like it seems like this could be a legitimately successful game on completely outside of like nostalgia value or like people heard about it but never got a chance to try it, all that sort of stuff.
I have no doubt.
And it'd be interesting if that's the case to see how that would affect the course of the series going forward.
I'm curious because they made a lot of like weird throwback decisions at 7 that are carried forward in this, but they're also keeping an eye forward with it. It's an exciting time. Like, it is a very exciting time to like Resident Evil games.
I do think it's interesting how like Hollywood is in the situation where they're constantly like remaking old movies because they're kind of out of ideas. And this is like the first time that we've seen a video game do this where they're just remaking like a game that they've already done like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I wonder if this will become more of a trend in the future.
I don't know. Like this seems to be a really appreciable upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I hijacked this from you, Jala.
It is fine. You are excited about the thing. It is okay to be excited, Cole.
Speaking of which, that's actually the only instance of a Hollywood remake I can think of that was good.
Which?
The Thing.
Oh. Huh?
What?
Wait, you're talking about John Carpenter doing the 80s version of The Thing based on A Thing from Another World.
Right. Yeah.
Who Goes There was the story, but there was like a 1950s The Thing from Another World that was based on Who Goes There.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which was also fairly decent, but not nearly as good as Carpenter's.
Yeah, well, we were laughing because it sounded like you were talking good things about the 2011 prequel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I was very disappointed by that.
I think we all were.
But.
Yeah. Did you have anything else, Jala?
Nope, that's it.
Okay. David, how about you?
Yeah, so I had a game come across my Steam suggestions that seemed like it was kind of made for me. Have you guys seen anything about Desolate?
No.
It's basically set up as a spiritual successor to Stalker, but informed by, since that time, all of the, kind of, I guess, progress and popularity that's been had in terms of survival games.
Okay.
So it's... kind of a Stalker style game, but with much stronger survival emphasis. So much more, scrounging for just random junk that you can break down and, less focus on shooting, more on kind of makeshift melee combat. And then a lot more emphasis on, needing to eat and drink and manage wounds and things like that. Mm-hmm. Storyline, it takes place in a alternate world where the Soviet Union won the Cold War. And with the help of a brilliant scientist who built them various super weapons. And then after the war, apparently... built his own island in order to do experiments and kind of disappeared until at one point the world discovered the island and found out that it was covered in, world-threatening monstrosities and physics-destroying anomalies and things like that, and started a program where people could volunteer to be sent to the island to try to fight for the preservation of the motherland or whatever.
Okay.
And you play as one of these volunteers. So, but the plot line's interesting because compared to Stalker, which was although strange at times, fairly solidly, you know, kind of science fiction, and kind of had a, you know, had a fairly solid, you know, grounding in, you know, most of the things you're fighting were mutants or, you know, rips in space time, or, you know, kind of had a sort of weird science type of thing. This one has all that, but also has much more of a supernatural bend to some of the things you're seeing.
Okay.
And much more just weird stuff. You know,
it looks like the monsters glow and have more teeth.
Yes, also true. So one of the things I've really enjoyed, again, from kind of the... Well, I guess I should say one of the things I love about the Stalker series and kind of this sort of genre is the degree to which you sort of build up your, I guess, whatever the survival equivalent of street smarts is, in terms of, you know, learning what the rules are of the various, you know, predators and things like that, and, you know, what sort of environments they're in and how to avoid them. And one of the things in this game is that almost all of the enemies are bioluminesce, and I'm to the point where I can, if I'm wandering around at night, I can now identify the various species based simply on the pattern of their bioluminescence.
Oh, nice.
Which is kind of cool. But it also has, though, for example, you know, there's been a lot more jump scares this time around. Most notably, the island has a epidemic of creepy little girls giving me the full ring treatment, you know, just appearing out of nowhere. And it's, you know, it's kind of fun because, you know, you're exploring and, you know, you've gone through this a couple times until, for example, I just got to a hospital, you know, abandoned hospital that's full of, you know, dead bodies and body bags and stuff like that. And, you know, scattered about on the sidewalks outside are, you know, hopscotch, you know, chalk hopscotch games and like children's toys. It's like, nope, I don't need to see this.
you knew a game you bought. Don't have a weak stomach. Walk in, face the horror.
The game looks kind of similar to like Fallout or The Road too, where there's like the survival punk type people there.
Yeah,
very much. It's the overall technology feel, when you get to the points that are like actually the super tech, kind of has some of the kind of Art Deco Bioshock type of thing going with it, although not nearly to that extreme. But then the a lot of the characters themselves definitely you know, dress in kind of the Fallout, you know, leather and gas mask things. I'd be interested to know, you know, I haven't seen any of the stuff that these series are, you know, kind of based on, which are the old movies, Roadside Picnic and Stalker.
No, the Tarkovsky
movie. So I don't
know
how much of this is, you know, what things are similar to Stalker just because, like, they're both based on the same source material, versus what things are, you know, just direct spiritual successors. But at least in terms of the anomalies, it's pretty much everything that's represented in the original game is directly represented here, which is kind of interesting.
I was saying, in comparison to the movie, there's like no anomalies in the movie. There's just always the threat of something weird, but nothing weird ever shows up.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
So I guess my question about how granular their survival aspects are would be like, are you managing food and water? Like, is it checking your sleep, or is it more about kind of combat and just HP management kind of stuff?
Sure. So it's, food and water. And then, you can, it also has temperature. Although so far that hasn't played a big role. So I don't know if eventually I'll get to like an Arctic biome or something like that.
No.
And then in the course of combat, you can get injuries or diseases that have to be treated.
Okay.
There's also random events which take the form of like anomalous weather patterns, or there's instances where there'll be a message that some experiment has gone awry and sound waves no longer work correctly, and it'll become more difficult for you to stealth. There's also a some sort of sanity feature. I haven't quite figured it out. Like, you can definitely have crazy hallucinations like the aforementioned creepy little girl.
Okay.
But I haven't quite figured out like what's scripted and what's not. So it kind of runs the gamut.
Yeah, I had not heard of this game before you brought it up.
Yeah, it seems really solid overall. You know, the gameplay compared to the original Stalker stuff, it's does have nearly as slick of gameplay. Although I think a lot of that is probably explained by the shift in genre from being a shooter to being a much more classic survival game. So I'm guessing the combat, for example, wouldn't feel as clunky if you were comparing it to like a Silent Hill or something like that. So it's good stuff. Come for the crazy pseudo Soviet dystopia, and stay for the sky whales.
Sorry, you caught me off guard with sky whale. So that's Desolate. Have you been getting into anything else?
Not really. I got through the tutorial of Atlas Reactor. But I'm, trying to do that with Dennis, and we haven't gotten a chance to actually get into one of those games. So I'll probably have more to talk about that next time.
Well, I don't know that I have any other questions for you, and I think all of us have gone. So how do you all feel about buttoning it up?
Buttons.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to this episode of The Level. If you're hearing this on the day of release, I am riding on a rainbow made out of orgasms playing Resident Evil 2. Otherwise, you know what to do. You can leave us ratings or reviews. You can tell friends. You can you can back us on Patreon and get into the Slack and share stories and contact us on Twitter and all of that good stuff. I don't have any real specific things, so this is sounding really generic. Is there anything that I'm forgetting?
What if the game's not good, Cole?
I'm sorry, all I heard was white noise. Cool. Well, I have been Cole Ross. You can find me at Cole Ross on Twitter.
I am David Meismith, and you will have to decide if that name actually represents the true essence of my being.
I am Jala-chan in places. You can find me there.
I'm pretty sure I'm Ben Merkel at Merkel B on Twitch.
Nice. And you can stick around for some titles. Okay, who's got some for me?
I only wrote one.
Okay.
Human white elephant gifts.
I also had that. I also had ... monkeys.
What was that from?
That was me just popping off at the very end. Yeah. Saying, monkeys.
Do you mind if I stylize that with a period at the end of it?
Yes.
So ... space, capital M, monkeys, period. Like it's a sentence following a pause.
That is acceptable.
Okay.
And then I also had a heartwarming Winchester mystery house.
Okay, Ben?
I also have monkeys.
Okay.
I also have monkeys. No, I just like that phrase.
It's recursive.
I have that one's for daddy. And you just kept firing them off, so I snuck in rainbow of orgasms there at the end.
Okay. So I've just got two that I said, but I don't know if people heard them. Devil May Cry Awakening for DMCA, and then 5 minute rule, because I misspoke. 5 second rule. I like monkeys. I like ... monkeys.
I'm a winner 2 weeks in a row, man.
You get it. Yeah. Does anybody have a compelling case to make for any of the others? I don't want it to be unilateral.
Nope.
Okie doke. Cool. All right. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna lay down because we have a long day tomorrow.
Yeah.
Take care, everybody.
Night.
See you guys.
Bye.
Peace, man. Have a good week.
You too.
See you. You too.